This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Audience members packed City Hall for last night's Bethel City Council Candidate Forum. Candidates spoke on Bethel's most important issues, like alcohol, open positions in city government, and relations among council members. Some of the biggest issues in front of Bethel are the local option questions on this year's ballot. There's one to limit alcohol sales to restaurants and another to prohibit all marijuana establishments. All candidates chose not to share how they would vote on those options. Here's Mark Springer.
There's a reason there's a curtain on the voting booth. I'd rather not say how I'm going to vote than lie about how I'm going to vote. So, people vote however they want to vote.
All candidates said they would support whatever decision Bethel residents made this October. The discussion heated up when KYUK asked candidates what was the best and worst decision the city council made this year. Alyssa Gustafson-Leary said the worst decision made by council was obvious.
The way the city manager was fired during his quarterly evaluation, I think that was really detrimental to city council, that may have gotten some more people to throw their hat in the ring to be candidates.
Mark Springer, Cece Franco, and Haley Hansen were all in agreement about that being the worst decision made by council this past year. Thor Williams, on the other hand, who voted to fire the city manager, talked about poor relations between council members last year.
I think what some of the hard issues that have come in front of city council is the lack of communication between city council. When council members don't talk to each other, they tend to get into their little forts, their little enclaves.
That wasn't the case at last night's forum, though. Communication flowed freely between candidates. They agreed on many issues, like hiring a city manager with experience in Alaska. On other matters, like how to retain city employees for longer, they disagreed. But at the end of the night, candidates, including Cece Franco, said civility during the forum remained high.
I think everyone was cordial. I just went and shook everyone's hand. I think that's wonderful, and I think it was positive, and that was the most we can hope for.
Haley Hansen had a guess as to why.
I think because that's been an issue with this last council, and I think people are recognizing that the community wants something different, and whether that means electing people who are going to carry that out better or people who have been on and see the need for more cordiality.
Mark Springer, Alyssa Gustafson-Leary, Thor Williams, Cece Franco, Haley Hansen, and Fritz Charles are running for Bethel City Council. Charles was absent from the forum last night due to work conflicts. Four of those six candidates will represent the city of Bethel for the next 2 years. Elections will be held on October 1st. If you missed last night's broadcast, you can listen to the full candidate forum online at kyuk.org. Further north, a luxury expedition cruise liner arrived in Nome this month after making its way through the Northwest Passage. Nome served as the transfer for one group to get off and another to get on. As KNOM's Emily Hofstetter reports, some residents of the small Northwest Hub are excited for the economic opportunities, but are wary about what these trips mean for climate change.
About 100 cruisers are milling around the mini convention center, many of them identifiable by red coats. A little patch on the arm designates them as being members of Hurtigruten's Roald Amundsen expedition ship. The room buzzes with mostly French, German, and Scandinavian languages. These visitors have just had a very different cruise experience than most of the millions of cruisers who visit Alaska every summer.
We started in Greenland and went through the Northwest Passage.
That's Werner Walusch of Germany, who was traveling with his wife, Barbara.
And we saw whales and bears and
polar bears, yes.
Birds, and this was very nice.
The influx of visitors is short. While they are between their ship and flight, they spend time in Nome and need food, transportation, and entertainment. That provides brief economic opportunities for Nome entrepreneurs. Mandy Ilana and Saluk Ireland sit at a table on the stage, selling brightly colored stickers, paintings, headbands, and homemade earrings. Ilana thinks the extra traffic can make people aware of the talent in Nome.
I think that when we were younger, Saluk and I were talking about this, tourism used to be a lot more of an activity all summer long. So I think it could benefit our local economy.
But both Ilana and Ireland know that the economy isn't the only thing changing in Nome. So is the climate. Here's Ireland.
All I know is that this weather is not what I'm used to this time of year.
There is an electricity in the air born from the presence of so many new people and the impending storm on the horizon. But for some people, like Nome subsistence hunter and trapper Austin Amasik, the very fact that these ships can be here is a concern.
That they can transit the Northwest Passage is because the world is so much dramatically warmer. And because it's so much dramatically warmer, we here in the Northern Bering Sea, we are at this climate crisis.
Amasik notes that this warming is causing the type of marine life in the ecosystem to change dramatically. Lower levels of sea ice are causing subsistence hunting to become more difficult, and scientists are seeing harmful algal blooms in the warming Chukchi seas. In those same areas, communities are seeing large numbers of dead seabirds. For researchers like Olaf Orheim, it is undeniable that the Northwest Passage has changed dramatically. He particularly studies climate change and glaciers. On this trip, they saw very little ice.
We had to go through a couple of patches that were reasonably heavy, but apart from that, there was nothing.
Orheim joins the crews as part of the expedition team, the group of experts who provide scientific and historical lectures to entertain and inform the cruise guests. Here's what Orheim says when asked if the cruise industry is capitalizing off of climate change.
Well, you could use that word. Certainly the cruise industry is going through the Northwest Passage now in numbers, which was unthinkable 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and also going through without any aid of icebreaker and so forth. So it's changing the picture.
This has been Nome's busiest cruise season to date, and it remains to be seen how much Nome will capitalize off this new kind of tourism. The Roald Amundsen left Nome on Wednesday and will journey back through the Northwest Passage to Greenland. Reporting in Nome, I'm Emily Hofstetter.
An interior man is one of the stars of a popular reality TV show about rural Alaska life. Rico DeWild shares his family's subsistence lifestyle on National Geographic's Life Below Zero. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, DeWild is Alaska native and grew up living off the land with his parents and siblings in a remote area of the Western Interior.
Like most Alaska-themed reality shows, Life Below Zero hypes the state's extremes and what it takes to survive in the wild.
Perfect time of the year to go moose hunting. The moose are real fat right now.
Whoa.
Whoa. My main thing is just try to walk like a moose and talk like a moose and hopefully get one to respond and hopefully have some luck.
Rico DeWild splits his time between Fairbanks and the Hooslea area and acknowledges the show feeds on the outside appetite for Alaskan adventure, but he emphasizes there's also a deeper message.
You see a lot of redneck stuff going on reality TV in Alaska, so I think my part is being native and being more like natural.
DeWild says his TV career started when a friend produced and posted a video about him moose hunting.
Got like into the millions of views, and that's when talent scouts from British Broadcasting Worldwide hit me up to be on the show Life Below Zero.
DeWild says it was a few years until episodes featuring he and his family debuted on the show last season. The 43-year-old DeWild, who also runs an Alaska Native-themed clothing company and is an active advocate for Native rights, says he takes the exposure Life Below Zero offers seriously.
Because there's a lot of stigma and a lot of negativity and a lot of bad imagery that's being portrayed on Native Americans, and a lot of, I think, racial tension between Natives and whites, because a lot of times whites, they only see what they see as Natives walking around that are struggling in society out here in the cities, and they don't see that beautiful part of our life in the woods and also in the villages. So for me, I feel honored to be able to shine a light on the beautiful side of Native American culture and our heritage and our tradition.
DeWild will be swapping his standard jeans and hoodie for a tuxedo later this month when he joins other Life Below Zero cast members and producers at an Emmy Awards red carpet event in Los Angeles, where the show is again nominated for recognition in several categories. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yuktoon coming up.